You're already listening.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
So you might as well stay smart all day.
It's the Pensacola Morning News.
From Pensacola Morning News in the morning to Pep Talk with Meg in mid-morning, and VR late morning to afternoon, you do it from 2 to 4, and Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin through your drive home. News that moves with you all day long.
All day long.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water. Thought, oh, good Lord, she had them long tan legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, well, baby, you a song. You make me want to roll my windows down and cruise.
Never before in the life of any living American have so many books been systematically removed from our school libraries across the country. Never before has access to so many stories been stolen from so many children, states the report called The Normalization of Book Banning, which PEN America released on October 1st.
So this is Linda Fussell. She's a local, and this is at the Escambia County School Board meeting, and she is one of the people who routinely, a frequent flyer, complains about the book removals. Opponents like to call them book bans. They're not really book bans. They're, you know, removals of books from the library system in the school or for certain grade levels. You know this story. We've talked about this quite a long time. Escambia County is still involved in litigation over this, and there's this open question of whether the school board members are going to have to be speak or not, whether they can be deposed or not based on their motives for passing the removals. That's, again, still an open question. But Linda, you know, makes the point that, look, we have never before seen so many books being removed from our libraries. And at first blush, I mean, she's right. I mean, that's true. That's just a fact. I don't remember any time ever in our history where we've had anything like this. But, of course, that begs the question, and you always want to make sure you're asking all of the questions, of, well, why? Is it because we are just changing as a culture into a more censoring or censorious, that we want to prevent kids from having access to things and we want to, you know, take away their ability to learn and to explore, which, of course, is the opponent's viewpoint. They think that kids ought to have access to everything and that the school board ought to be paying for it and that there should be no restrictions on what kids can learn, or very few. I don't want to mischaracterize restrictions on what kids have access to. But the other side, you know, the side that favors removing or restricting, at least to some degree, will say, yeah, we've never before in America had so many books removed from the school libraries, but we've also never before in America had so much utter filth and depravity in the books in the libraries. And so, which is the real reason? You also have the ideological conflicts. I mean, some books are being removed because they're grotesque and profane. Some books are being removed because they are some mixture of grotesque or profane or lurid, you know, violate the mill, obscene would be the, you know, legal standard you would talk about. And also they carry an ideology that the school district or the state school board does not want to advocate or advance. And then you also have some that are just a matter of advocating for, I mean, like Entango Makes Three, for example, is clearly not lurid. It's not obscene. It is a book about, you know, the two same sex penguins raising a kid. But that advocates for a viewpoint, right? That is promoting the normalization of a certain viewpoint about what is acceptable for families. Well, it's only about animals. Don't be dumb. You know that's not what this is about. Nobody would be fighting over this one way or the other if that's what all this is about. So, yes, never before have we seen so much activity in controlling access to certain resources, but is that because we are much more restrictive, or is that because the resources themselves are that much more boundary pushing, or some combination of the both? I would say it's more the latter, but, you know, kind of once you catch the bug for removing books, you know, it's easy to remove more books. Now, Linda also said something with which I very much agree.
Please propose a policy that will clarify that books without a local challenge from the state removal list can be retained and not removed from library shelves.
And what she's getting at there is the way Escambia County has done it, the school board has done it, is if anybody anywhere has challenged a book in the state, then all of those, and I think there's like 700 or so on the list, if I remember correctly. I've looked at this list. The list has different iterations. There was another version of it that just came out in December, I think. Anyway, basically, if a book gets challenged anywhere, then it's off of our lists also, which I think is, too aggressive. Instead, any individual book ought to have to be justified for its removal. And just because somebody in, Orlando or Orange County, whatever, tries to remove a book doesn't mean we should. I understand that there are practical questions about, how much time, how many resources do you devote to this? The new policy is probably better because the superintendent can remove a book. The superintendent can also add a book that's already been on the challenge list. I think that accommodates the question about like AP students needing to have access to some books that are challenged or have been removed. But generally speaking, I prefer the local school board to be able to tailor, what things are available and at what ages to its students. But general principles, always good to start with general principles. Kids are a different category. We protect kids from certain ideas. It's also important to be able to expose kids to things that are maybe uncomfortable or outside of their normal range of ideas. It's a parenting mistake to restrict them too much. It is also a parenting mistake to allow them to have everything that their little hearts desire. So you have to thread the needle on that, especially in the school district where you're trying to thread that needle for tens of thousands of parents, and trying to accommodate everybody is never going to work because school and education is a fundamentally values-laden endeavor. That means that it is people's religion, their ethics, their views about politics in the world that come to a conflict because people have different views about these things and what they want their kids taught in the school, and that's why school issues are always so complicated like this. If that doesn't sound like a very clean, neat, solving answer to you, it's not. But it's why. It's why we have all these clashes. 716 on News Radio 92.3, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries. Scenic Highway just a little south of Olive Road. Also saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. We are awaiting the Tom Homan news conference in Minneapolis. We'll do our best to care that for you as we get it, because we all want to hear what he has to say about these incidents that have raised so much concern around the country. In the meantime, if you are thinking about repairing a roof or replacing a roof, or you are not sure which or either of those needs to be done, call Quality Roofing Solutions. Brian Ward started this company 20 years ago, celebrating their 20th anniversary, started in 2006. And since then, they've only done 10,000 roofs in the area. They've only got a 4.9 rating on Google, which is I still can't get over that. A 4.9. Nobody gets a 4.9. That's crazy high. They call you back. They talk to you like a person. They'll explain things to you, and not just treating you like, you don't have to be the expert, but also not treating like you can't understand. A lot of times when you're dealing with folks in the, construction industry, they make you feel dumb, maybe because you are. Okay, well, no, they realize it's your money. It's your project. You should understand to the degree you want to. So they treat you like an adult, which is great. They do all kinds of things to save costs. Like, they have a warehouse here. That means that if there's ever an incident where there's a lot of demand on roofs, well, they are ahead of the game because they have resources. It also means that they can get things to the job site quickly and save time there. They actually have little vans that run around and deliver items to the job site more efficiently than like sending a guy back to the warehouse and get it. Just all kinds of little stuff like that, including keeping a documentary record of photos before, during, and after for you on the cloud. So if something ever happens, you have that available to you, and a lifetime warranty for their roofs. So they will take care of you. QualityRoofingSolutions.com or 777-0961.
Discouraged? Defeated? Disappointed? You're listening to Strength for Life.
Hey, this is Pastor James Johnson with Strength for Life. I want you to know that there are resources available on our website that are specifically designed to strengthen you in your walk with God. Maybe you're feeling weak in your prayer life because of unanswered prayer. I wrote a little booklet entitled When God Says No, which will strengthen you in how to deal with those times in your life when it seems that God is silent. Maybe you're struggling because someone you love is away from the Lord. They're wayward and your heart is broken. On our website, you'll find a booklet entitled Ministry to the Wayward, and it will strengthen you in knowing exactly how to help that person who is in a prodigal situation. You can find these strengthening resources and much more at our website, which is www.strengthforlife.church. Check it out today.
Look. Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, we don't play that.
Prevention is better than cure. Bad apples affecting the pure. You'll gather your senses, I'm sure, and I agree to melt the guns. Melt the guns. Melt the guns and
good morning, 720 on News Radio 92.3. Everybody needs a Lexi C in their lives. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And we just had an interesting, PJ, you just made an interesting observation because everybody's running with the 7 a.m. Press conference for Tom Homan announcement, and he's not there yet, and it's 720, which is kind of weird. But it was 8 a.m. was the announcement, and I think people assumed that that was 8 a.m. Eastern, so they corrected for time. But as you well know, being from Wisconsin, as I well know, being from
central
Illinois,
time zone.
Minneapolis is in the central time zone. So everybody who's waiting on this press conference might be 40 minutes early. We'll see. I don't know for sure what's going to happen. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. A deal is reportedly in the works that would avert a government shutdown. Funding is set to expire currently Friday at midnight. The New York Times, though, reporting that last night, President Trump and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer moved a bit closer to a plan that would make funding the Department of Homeland Security separate from a federal funding package. The FBI now leading the investigation into the liquid attack on Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. 55-year-old Anthony Kosmirsak is accused of squirting the liquid on Omar during that town hall event. He's facing third-degree assault charges. And Eli Manning has missed being voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame for a second year in a row. The Athletic says that the former quarterback was among 15 modern-era finalists but did not receive the required 80% vote for induction.
Well, if Bill Belichick doesn't get in, then who's eligible? I don't even know. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, turns out they got it right. Tom Homan is actually speaking right now from Minneapolis.
Too early, isn't it? Look, I've been given talking points, and I don't like reading speeches, never have, but my chief of staff did put some stuff down here in writing just to make sure I don't miss anything. So I'm going to be reading a little bit, then we're going to open up for questions. I've been on the ground less than 3 full days. I got in here Monday. President of the United States called me Monday morning and asked me to deploy here. Got here Monday evening, and I'm staying till the problem's gone. But we've made a lot of progress in the last 3 days. Marcos Charles, he's running ICE operations here. There you go. Rodney Scott, Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, standing here beside me. Good morning, I'm Tom Homan, I'm the Border Czar for President Trump. I'm here on behalf of the President, along with U.S. Commissioners, Commissioner for U.S. Customs and Border Protection, Rodney Scott, and Marcos Charles, who's leading the enforcement effort here right now. I've been on the ground since Monday to regain law and order in the city beloved by me and work together to remove threats from the community. During the past administration, well, I remember, more than 10 million illegal aliens entered this nation. Many were national security threats, public safety threats. We can't remember over 2 million known gotaways. 2 million people who paid more to get away. Why? That just scared the hell out of everybody. President Trump promised American people, including their residents of Minnesota, that he would work to ensure our communities are safe. And with that, this administration is absolutely focused on identifying removal aliens that pose a public safety threat and national security threats, and the numbers prove it. The data proves it. In the past few days, I've met with Governor Waltz, Attorney General Ellison, Mayor Fry, numerous police chiefs and sheriffs, and I have more to meet. I'll also be continuing the dialogue with business and religious leaders in partnership with Minnesota, your community leaders. I'll be meeting with them too, because I want to hear what they have to say. In my meetings with folks so far, and most importantly, the governor and the AG, the Mayor Fry, we didn't agree on everything. I didn't expect to agree on anything. I've heard many people want to know why we're talking to people who they don't consider friends in administration. Bottom line is, you can't fix problems if you don't have discussions. I didn't come to Minnesota for photo ops or headlines. You haven't seen me. I came here to seek solutions, and that's what we're going to do. And we've come a long way, and we got some good wins for the people of Minnesota, I think, and for the administration and for the safety and security of this city. One thing we did agree on, though, everybody I talked to agreed on, was that community safety is paramount. One thing we all agreed on was U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement is a legitimate law enforcement agency that has a duty to enforce the laws enacted by Congress and keep this community safe. Like I've said many times for the last several years, even before this administration, jurisdictions that refuse to cooperate with federal immigration authorities are sanctuaries for criminals. Sanctuary cities are sanctuaries for criminals and endangers the residents of the community. To be clear, we did not agree with Minnesota state and local officials that they would be involved in immigration enforcement. I didn't ask them to be immigration officers. I'm asking them to be cops working with the cops to help us take criminal aliens off the street. What we did agree upon is not to release public safety arrests back in the community when they could be lawfully transferred to ICE. I'll speak more about that. I will highlight that the Minnesota State Prison System under the Department of Corrections have been honoring ICE detainers. And we appreciate that important collaboration, and we're going to expand upon that. That decision has made Minnesota safer, not only for residents of Minnesota, but the men and women law enforcement. Not just ICE, all law enforcement. Rather than arresting the same public safety threat, significant public safety threat, over and over again, they agree to work with us to identify those people and remove them. I'm also pleased to announce I had a very good meeting with Attorney General Ellison, and he has clarified for me that county jails may notify ICE of the release dates of criminal public safety arrests so ICE can take custody of them upon the release from the jail. And let me tell you why that's important. I know people are a lot concerned about the manpower has been set in law enforcement manpower. Look, I've said this many times before, I've said it for the last several years. Give us access to the illegal alien public safety threat and the safety and security of a jail. It's common sense. It's safer for the community, it's safer for the agent, and it's safer for the alien. Because anything can happen on a street arrest. It just makes common sense. And for the people that argue, well, we're a welcoming community because we want victims and witnesses of crime that are here illegally to feel safe to come to police without fear they're working with ICE, we're not going to talk to the victim and witness of crime. There's no problem there. They should feel safe to come to the police and ask for help. All we want is to talk to the person that local and state law enforcement authorities locked in a jail cell. They chose to lock this person up. That's who we want to talk to, the public safety threat. So the argument is that protects victim witnesses of crime. It's a bunch of crap. Victims and witnesses of crime don't want the bad guy back in their neighborhood either. So great progress were there with the Attorney General and local sheriffs. And one thing, when we have these agreements, it takes less law enforcement agents to do the job. One agent can arrest one bad guy in the safety and security of a jail where he's behind the wire. We know he don't have weapons. But when you normally release that public safety threat, illegal alien back in the community, we have a job to do. We're going to arrest him. So we're going to find him. And what happens is now we got to arrest somebody on his turf. We have access to who knows what weapons. Now we got to send the whole team out. Cover the back door, cover the front door, officer safety reasons. Then because of the hateful rhetoric and the attacks on ICE officers.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to pull out of this press conference because as you hear, what Tom Homan is doing is talking about the justification for ICE operations and why they're doing what they're doing, which is good information, but it is not the sort of breaking news or explanation of what's been going on with the shootings that we were kind of thinking this would be. And we'll find more out throughout the day from, I'm sure, Fox, top and bottom of the hour. But and anything else that comes out of this press conference, we'll, of course, bring it to you as soon as we possibly can. I'm Andrew McKay.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Border Czar Tom Homan addressing ICE enforcement operations in Minneapolis. The city's mayor, Jacob Frey, says he and the city's police department will not comply with federal immigration law. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar throws her hat into the ring for governor.
3,000 ICE agents on our streets and in our towns, sent by an administration that relishes division.
That from a video posted X. The Democrat wants to keep the state house blue. Governor Tim Walz recently ended his reelection bid. President Trump holds his 10th cabinet meeting later this morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, and UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer becomes the first British leader to visit communist China in 8 years. He and President Xi Jinping call for a strategic partnership to deepen ties as they try to mend a fractured relationship. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 31 degrees, sunshine this morning. We'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. The Triumph Gulf Coast Board did give initial approval to a $76 million grant that would transform the Port of Pensacola. Project MAVE would bring shipbuilder Burden America, their southeastern headquarters, to the city and create a couple thousand jobs here.
2,000 jobs, average 80,000. It'd be the second largest employer in our city at the 2,000 mark. I believe Sacred Heart is number one. So again, very, very exciting project. And this is what we talk about when we say creating quality jobs in our community. We know the impact that can have.
Mayor D.C. Reeves and the city calls it the largest job creation project in city history. The facility would create 1,437 jobs, averaging about 70,000 a year, 563 jobs, averaging 112,000 a year. The $275 million project would include a 400,000 square foot shipbuilding facility to support U.S. military interests through production of ship and submarine modules. Senator Rick Scott has a new series coming up covering Florida's entrepreneurs. More information with News Radio's Austin Price.
The senator's already released a trailer for The American Dream at Work. It's a series featuring small business owners and their contributions to local communities. Scott says he grew up in public housing and worked hard to build businesses before entering politics. And he says that some troubling regulations and higher costs make it harder for people to get ahead today. And that's what the series aims to show, along with the fact that the American dream is still alive in Florida. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Austin. Florida will be participating in a new federal education tax credit program starting next year during a visit to Hillsborough County Private School. Governor Ron DeSantis promoted what he's calling the Freedom Tax Credit, allowing individuals to support education scholarships through tax-deductible contributions.
Florida will be participating in this new federal education freedom tax credit.
Taxpayers can donate up to $1,700 to certified scholarship organizations. Families that meet income requirements can then use the funds for a range of educational expenses. That program is scheduled to launch statewide January 1st. Now, Florida CFO Blaise Ingolia announcing yesterday that his office has found $50,000 in excessive and wasteful spending in the 2025-26 budget for the city of St. Petersburg. He says that city hired 300 full-time employees, but only 65 were for police, fire, and EMS. The state says that St. Petersburg could reduce their millage rate by 1.34 mils and not have to disrupt any of their essential services. It is 7:35 here, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson.
Chilly start to your day today with temperatures warming up this afternoon. Partly cloudy skies near 54 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 42 degrees. Heading into Friday, 40% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies. High near 57. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 24. Looking at very breezy conditions on that Saturday with temperatures staying very cold. 35 degrees for that high. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping into the low 20s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 7:35 now at News Radio 92.3. Checking in with PJ. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Escambia County's tax base. Taking a look at the big board, I-10 eastbound, just a little bit of congestion approaching Highway 29. Be aware of that. Also, we have a vehicle crash. We're still working with injuries. Scenic Highway, just a little bit south of Olive Road. Use caution through that area. And then finally, a vehicle crash. Mobile Highway right near Bellevue Avenue. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. And 7:35, your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. VapoCool.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real-life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local, dependable.
Bad boys, what you want, what you gonna do when Sheriff John Brown come for you.
Good morning, 7:37 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Nice sunny day. Still cold, but sunny. I'll take it. Let's see. We've got Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department joining us now. Mike, as always, welcome back, sir. Good to talk to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I know we got a couple of smaller stories. They're still very interesting stories that I want to get to. But before we do that, it seems to me like the big story of the week, I mean, we talked about it yesterday quite a bit, but the Rodney Jones arrest, the charges against him and his children involving the allegations about misbehavior with a woman, a teenager, involved in the HOOPS program, going through a community service and all of this. I know you guys have been leading this investigation, so you guys have a lot more information than I do. Tell me what we know. Let's start there.
Well, I have to be careful with that because it is a sex crime, so a lot of information is restricted. But what I can tell you is that anytime a person is charged and then family members or friends or anybody else calls or makes any kind of contact or communication with the victim, that's going to be problematic. And that's what happened in this case, whether it be asking them to drop the charges or threats, or maybe it could be financial considerations, trying to get a victim to drop the charges. All of that is highly illegal. Everybody wants to take up for their family members and things like that in situations like this, but you have to be very careful. And that's what went very wrong in this case with family members of Mr. Jones.
You know, I wanted to actually ask you about that because I know we haven't yet talked about the underlying charges that started this all, but my wife asked me this question yesterday. She says, look, when people get involved in, say, litigation, one of the most common outcomes of that is that, you know, A pays B a bunch of money and B agrees to not talk about it. You know, non-disclosure agreements, confidentiality are a result of paying a payment. And she says, what's the difference between that and offering somebody to shut up in exchange for money, which we would style, let's say, as a bribe? But why is it illegal to offer somebody money? I mean, coercion, intimidation, obviously we get that. But why is it a crime to offer somebody money to stop talking about an alleged crime?
Well, you're talking with attorneys around tables where everybody's there. Nobody's being threatened. And it's a deal that everybody agrees with. In situations like this, before an arrest is even made, a lot of times, and sometimes after the arrest, when you're going to do it in the back door sort of situation with threats and money and things like that, that's the difference. That's what makes it illegal. It's different when the prosecutor's office and the defense attorneys are all involved in a situation or in a deal.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. But back to the original allegation. And again, I understand that because we had and at the time of the crimes, a minor, now an adult. I think that's great, right? She's an adult now. The victim is an adult now.
I believe so.
Okay. But at the time, a minor, 16 years old, according to the reports. She's got to do this community service. She goes and works with Hoops. And she alleges that he touched her, that escalated, that eventually it was, you know, unwanted sexual advances. And she was basically afraid to talk to anybody or to say no, because if she said no to what eventually became sex, that she would not get signed off on her community service, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's in a position of authority and he has a lot being held over her head, you know, sort of. So he had, she felt like, according to the report, that she felt like that if she didn't do like he said, then he could withhold that or withhold the signatures and keep her there longer. So it's a bad situation. You hear about it all too often of people that are in authority that do things to those. You know, it's you've heard police officers and corrections officers and clergy and all kinds of people involved in this sort of thing. And it's just a sad situation.
And of course, he has denied, or at least through attorneys, has denied, you know, all of the allegations. But you guys didn't just, you know, make all of this up. You did a very thorough investigation that, as I understand it, involves even things like verifying cash transfers through apps and or phone messages that confirm her side of the story. Is that basically right, or are there other elements of this that you can talk about?
Yeah, well, you have to investigate everything. All the accusations, if a person says this was done and that was done, we have ways of verifying that to make sure the story is true, because a lot of times it can be the other way around. You know, if you don't sign off on this early, or if you don't do this for me, then I'm going to say that you did that to me, mm-hmm. That sort of situation. So our detectives have to go through this very carefully, and it takes a long time sometimes to get all this information before charges are brought. But I can tell you the investigators at the Pensacola Police Department are going to do their jobs very well and not bring charges until things have been verified.
You know, one of the things that I think a very understandable response to a story like this is, you know, well, that's she said, he said, she's, you know, been convicted of a crime. That's why she's serving community service. You know, how do we know who to believe? Could it just be a matter of opinion? Could it even be, as you mentioned, a matter of reverse threats that, you know, she says, I'll tell a story if you don't do what I want you to do? For people who might be having that kind of a reaction, and of course, he's innocent criminally until proven guilty, but we know where the investigation seems to be leading and what the report says. How would you answer, or how would you sort of reassure people who might have that perception of this particular story?
Well, again, our detectives are going to look into it. Are going to look into it from a from 30,000 feet. They're going to look at all the possibilities, and they're going to look at paperwork, transactions, phone records, all kinds of things, and not just in this case, but this is the way cases like this are investigated. And once they have all their information, then they present it. They get with the state attorney's office, and once an agreement is made that charges should be forthcoming, that's what we do. And if charges are not, then either they're not brought or maybe it could be taken to a grand jury. So the investigators know what they're doing, and they know the facts that they have, and it was enough to bring charges in this case.
Last question on this subject, and I ask this because to me this is, I mean, the incidents themselves alleged are important. The treatment of this girl, as alleged, is important. You know, making sure that if they're true, a predator is not allowed to continue doing that. All of that's important. But to me, maybe not more relevant, but the broader implication is we have, you know, 330,000 people in Escambia County, 50,000 plus people in the city of Pensacola. Leverage, abuse, threats, coercion, fear, intimidation, and unwanted physical touching that escalates. I wish it weren't common, but it is relatively common. It's common enough that there are a lot of women who are afraid to come forward and afraid that they're going to get turned into the bad guy or that they're going to be, you know, further abused by exposure. What would Mike Wood, the lifetime police officer, tell such women who might be having that fear but are experiencing anything like this right now?
Well, first of all, the first time something happens, it needs to be reported. Please don't be afraid and let it escalate to a situation to where you're locked in and things have gone from maybe from inappropriate language to touching, and it can get worse. So when it gets to that point, somebody needs to be told about it early on so it doesn't go on for 6-8 months to a year or even worse than that.
You know, I said last question, but it's exactly what you just said. The follow-up is, how many times as a law enforcement investigator have you come across a woman who said, well, I didn't think he'd keep doing it, or he promised me he'd stop, or he said he loved me, or anything in that vicinity, which is why she waited and waited and waited, and it got worse?
Yeah, that does happen, and especially in cases of domestic violence, there's all kinds of reasons why the ladies keep going or stay in that relationship or stay in that home. Because there's many reasons why they do it, whether they're afraid for the children or it's financial reasons. These women have different reasons for this, but all I can tell them is that they don't have to put up with that. There is help, and we will get them that help. Just don't stay in a situation like that.
Amen. Absolutely. Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, talking to Mushmouth Andrew McKay. We'll be back with him in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Three vehicle crashes to tell you about, all on Scenic Highway. The first one is a vehicle crash with injuries. That's right near Rosemont Drive. The roadway is finally clear from that accident, but just a few feet away, we have Scenic Highway at Barranca Laura. There's a new vehicle crash there. No roadblock associated with that one. And then also Scenic Highway right near I-110. There's a vehicle crash, but they're saying the roadway's clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Be careful out there.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mike Wood. Mike, we had yet another break-in or vandalism incident at the Old Baptist campus as it's in the process of getting taken down. But what happened here?
Yeah, some people got in there again attempting to take some precious metals out of there. And once again, we do have good suspect information in this one, so probably an arrest is forthcoming. But, you know, a message to the bad guys out there, don't get onto this property because the chances of you, it's kind of like the ballpark downtown, the chances of you getting caught are very high, so stop doing that.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I saw the pictures that the PNJ did of inside before it gets demolished, and what I kept thinking is, I mean, that looks like a great yard sale. There's a lot of desks and, you know, equipment, but I know that's probably what thieves think is, oh, that's a good stuff I can take. And no, you really, you can't. And you're probably going to get caught, as you guys have caught many people trying to do this exact same kind of thing. You had an incident at the port that was pretty weird. What happened?
Well, we had a person, a man decided he wanted to jump the fence to get in to the port. We don't know why, but he did injure himself going over that fence. Once he was inside, I don't believe anything was stolen, but he realized that he's trapped in there now. He doesn't want to go back out the same way he came in because it caused injury. So he found a vehicle that was inside the port. He was able to start that vehicle and ram a fence with it pretty close to where he got in the first time and was able to escape. Only for about a half a block, officers quickly apprehended him before he could make it to Main Street.
They got him before he got to Main? You guys must have been responding
pretty
wow, because it's not that long. I mean, that's just, you know, a block. that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a combination of good police work and security at the port, and what a great patrol division. How about that?
Yeah, man. Also, not the most well thought out plan by the criminal.
No, yeah.
Because breaking
into the exit strategy wasn't a good one.
Yeah, and I mean the port is a secured area. It's like breaking into the airport, right? You have to get on the to get on the grounds of the port. You got to have a TWIC card or be accompanied. And I mean it's you're breaking into a military base, breaking into the port, breaking into the airport. These are all kind of similar things, right?
Yeah, they're very well secured, and you might as well try breaking into county jail when you're doing something like that. It's not a good idea.
I'm trying to also figure out what was he trying to steal. Like one of the nacelles, he's trying to. You can barely transport those things with a truck, let alone with just on your own with your your legs. And then last one is you had a what turned out to be a swatting incident or something like it or spoofing. And you tell me, this was actually I was on vacation. This was last Friday, and I was driving away from Walmart and see 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, 10 cruisers, lights on, responding, going east on Creighton. Called Greg Gordon, talked to him about. I actually wound up calling you on vacation. I apologize because I had not remembered that you were. And I so very kindly hung up immediately and said, I'm sorry. But what happened at this incident at the Walmart?
Well, it's just what you said. It was an indication. We had an indication from a caller that there was an active shooter type situation going on up there. And when that happens, we pull out all the stops. Everybody's going to go to that location, and quickly found out that it was a swatting type situation. I believe there was one a day before, maybe a couple of days before, in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah,
maybe incorrect on that, but there was one
school,
So we believe that that's all that was, and officers were back on their normal patrol beats very quickly after that.
Very good.
Not much to it.
Yeah, when I talked to Greg, Officer Gordon, about it, and he had said that there was somebody. Said they were in the parking lot getting ready to shoot up the place, which of course turned out to be false. My reaction was because I carry, and I had been there, minutes before, whenever this call was going on, I was at the Walmart. And my first thought was, oh my God, I hope somebody didn't see me reaching up on the top shelf. You know what I mean? Because you wonder about that. Thank goodness that wasn't it. But, you wonder what's going on with these things, but you guys have to treat it like it's an incident because the time you don't is the time it could have been, right?
Yeah, we're going to do that, but we're also not going to have every resource that we have run to one location when it could be a diversion type situation and then something happens on the other side of town. So we're prepared for that and trained for that, but we're going to take everything seriously until we get there and understand or find out that it was a false call.
Absolutely. Last thing, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. You have one for me this week?
Yeah, and it has to do with what you just brought up, carrying concealed. Even though you're able to carry concealed, no problem with that at all, but when you assault a law enforcement officer in Florida while carrying a concealed gun, that triggers severe enhanced penalties, often escalating charges to felonies with mandatory minimum prison sentences under the Florida's 1020 life law. So mere possession of a firearm during a crime can result in a 10-year minimum mandatory sentence, while displaying it increases the penalty, and firing it carries a 20-year minimum. So basically, battery on an officer's take that, simple battery on an officer is elevated to a third degree felony up to 5 years, just because you had it in your waistband. Did not display it, did not threaten to use it, but just simply because you had it.
Okay, if I give Jamie Brierton a hug at the parade while concealed carrying, I'm still okay because it's not unwanted touching, right?
Yeah, it depends on how hard you hug him.
Well, he's a ginger. He bruises easily.
Yes, he does. Gets his feelings hurt easily, too.
Mike Wood is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. 753 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, graveled roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
All right, cool. Can't get the audio to play. I love that. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working those three vehicle crashes on Scenic Highway. The first one is a vehicle crash with injury. Scenic Highway at Rosemont Drive. The roadway's finally clear there. Just a few feet away from that, Scenic Highway at Barranca Laura. There's no roadblock associated with that. And then finally, the vehicle crash, Scenic Highway, right near I-110. Roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A car crash at a New York City Jewish organization is being investigated as a hate crime today. The NYPD says the driver reportedly rammed a vehicle into the Chabad World headquarters in Brooklyn on Wednesday night. A video online shows the driver of a Honda sedan slamming into the entrance of the building, then backing up and doing it again. Elon Musk is turning his Tesla plant in Fremont, California, into an Optimus humanoid robot factory. During a fourth quarter earnings call yesterday, Musk said he's ending production of the Model S and X Teslas that are assembled at the plant, and instead he'll convert the space to make the robots. And Melania premieres today at the Trump Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. It's a documentary about 20 days in the life of First Lady Melania Trump. They'll be screening to a crowd of conservative VIPs, including many members of the Trump administration.
All right. Thanks so much, David. 7:56 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It was my fault, by the way. I was somewhere between the board and my computer. I had turned it off entirely when I pulled down the Tom Homan thing. So I will take the blame for it. It was entirely my fault. Nobody blame PJ. I have an incredibly boring but important story for you. Who's excited? Who's ready? Senate Ethics and Elections Committee met yesterday. They're the ones who handle the appointments, and here goes.
Is there public testimony? I see we had one individual who wished to testify, Elijah Hooks. Mr. Hooks apparently is not going to testify. Is there any debate or discussion? If not, please call the roll.
Senator Avila?
Yes.
Senator Bradley?
Yes.
Senator Garcia?
Yes.
Senator Grohl?
Yes.
Senator Polsky? Senator Roussan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Bernard?
Yes.
Chair Gates?
Yes, and by your action, the confirmation of appointees on tabs 3 through 26 will be recommended favorably to the full Senate.
All right, now raise your hand if you agree that was super boring. But let me tell you what that accomplished. That was the first step in the confirmation process for Jay Patel and Janice Gilley to be on the UWF Board of Trustees. And as you may well know at this point, the people who are on the boards of the of trustees for Pensacola State College and the University of West Florida, well, in the last year, that's been a pretty important thing. So, Jay's a good guy. I know him a little, mostly from, you know, listening to him talk in a variety of circumstances. Janice, I know extremely well. She is, I don't know what's the, she's a gold star person to me. Like, not in the military sense, but in the, you know, you get a gold star for being capable and decent and reliable and honest. And so if ever I were excited about a person being on the UWF board, I am excited for Janice Gilley. Now, I'm also worried because, you know, you put a good person in an environment where they're surrounded by people who are doing things that are, let's just say, not so great. Now that's going to potentially create conflict. But if anybody could get in there and with a smile and a kind word, fix all the crap that's going on right now, she can do it. So I'm hopeful, but keep her in your prayers because she is definitely, she's one of those people where I would say this. If you have a problem with Janice Gilley, you have a problem, not the other way around. And she has great work at Santa Rosa County now, by the way, as well. So she's kind of under the radar over there, but she's doing excellent work. Anyway, so that's big news. We have two more confirmed. And they still have to go through another round with another committee, and they still have to get confirmed by the Senate. But the fact that it was no controversy, no drama, no discussion, easy peasy unanimous vote, that's good news.
Local talk in the morning.